And yeah, often systems have like principles or values. So, for example, one of Shopify's values is empowerment. And in their design system, they actually show how to apply it. So they say, because our value is empowerment, we want to help users complete their tasks without taking away decisions or independence. So yeah, that's a little bit about design systems and their importance and kind of them being more than just like a file hosting all of our buttons and dropdowns and things as we often think of them.
Hello, you've reached Hotline Design Podcast. How may we help you? Welcome back to Hotline Design Podcast. In this week's episode, we talk all about the organizational wonderland of design systems. Consistency, elegance, convenience. We are evangelizing and unpacking these angelic systems that add structure to the otherwise wild west of our design documents. So ladies, I have to know, how have your weeks been?
I'm just so in love with your intros. I can't believe you managed to add the word elegance to an episode about design system.
You know, they're gorgeous, they're shiny, they're everything we need and more.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm living for it. I love it. So yeah, my week has actually been really on brand. Also, I'm really sorry if I'm a bit nasally. My allergies are really acting up. But yeah, I was working on moving our wireframe library from Sketch to Figma, an action that I literally volunteered myself for, because if you know me, that all makes so much sense. And yeah, it's been really fun. It's given me an opportunity to kind of take that action and transform it into a kind of a design systems action. So I completely treated it that way. I was like, oh, how can we name these better? How can we organize these better? And yeah, it's been really exciting. And on a personal front, it's been one of these weeks where I have no idea where my free time went. All I can remember is a lot of time with the dog and a lot of time watching New Girl. But other than that, I have no clue. Like, nothing productive and inspiring this week from me. No books read, no drawing. I have no idea what I've been doing with my time.
New Girl counts as skill building.
I agree. Yeah.
And that's totally okay, right? Like, yeah, don't feel pressured to do something all the time. You know, sometimes it's just nice to have one of these more chilled weeks. And obviously, yeah. I haven't watched New Girl, but, you know, it sounds like a great series. I always live under a rock, so I'm not exactly the best at knowing what the on-point shows are out there. But it sounds like quite a nice, chill week. Like, that's great.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you. What about yours?
I've had a really great week, actually. I have been at my partner's place in the countryside in the north of England, and it's just so, so nice to get a break away from London. So very lucky. And then on the work front, I've just been working together with the front-end dev in my project. So really exciting to see some of my design prototypes coming to life. I think it's really great. We're trying to emulate that hot potato process. So I design something, hand it across to him. He develops it, kind of shows it to me, and then we kind of work on several different designs. So it doesn't feel like I have to get them to a really good place before handing them over, which is really great for curing my perfectionism in a way. And then what's really exciting is I've just enrolled into a motion design course as well. So really trying to get back into After Effects, which I was super into at the end of last year when I had a lot of free time. And everyone on the course is so amazing. I just completely feel like I'm a little bit out of my depth, but I don't think I'm the only one who feels that way. There are people who are like, oh yeah, I'm just the head visual designer and, you know, this tech company. And I'm like, why are you on this course? Clearly you're really, really good. But it's great to be among, I think, people who really want to learn and become better at their current craft. So really appreciate that. And yeah, it's exciting. I think days are getting longer and hopefully the UK is coming out of lockdown soon, which is really exciting. What about you, Lauren?
Oh, amazing. It sounds like such a good week, Yusin. Yeah, on my end, I am back from leave. I just took some holiday time to move flats and had a short kind of like 4-day week. And work-wise, I've just joined a project that's kind of like in the full swing of things. And I'm working to create kind of a sign-off process for my designs, because at the minute, it seems to just be bouncing emails back and forth to random people. So I think there really needs to be a bit more structure to that to make sure we're being like efficient. And then this week, we did our first ever pod retro, which was great. You can take the girls out of consulting, but not the consulting out of the girls.
Never.
So that was a lot of fun. So shout out to Lavinia for organizing that and getting like the mural board all set up. And then just on a personal note, I am very injured because I actually sliced my hand on a tape measure.
Ouch.
Interior design is very dangerous. So just be warned out there that tape measures are basically the new shanks.
Ooh.
You know that Discovery, I think it is a Discovery show about dangerous jobs and like people going at sea, fishing in the ocean and stuff. We should add that to make an episode.
Shout out to all the interior designers listening to this. Thank you for risking your life day in and day out. The unsung heroes of society. So yeah, I'm fine now, but it was a shock to know that you can hurt yourself so badly on a tape measure.
Everything can be a weapon.
So as you know, ladies, this week we're talking all about design systems. So to kick us off, when we say design systems, what do you think of? What comes to mind?
Joy and rainbows, organized teams, no kind of back and forth about how the button should look like. Yeah, that's what I think of.
Of course, Lavinia, you're like the most highly organized person I know ever, and you know, just kind of putting things into place. I think design systems to me are like libraries. So they're a single point of reference, or they're a style guide essentially. So when you want to build a new design of a page or of a feature that you're currently building on your product, you can just go to the design systems and ideally it would kind of give you all the information you need to transform your wireframe into something that looks really killer. What about you?
Like the sacred texts in a way. Yeah, I kind of see them as like the sacred texts in a way. Like central source of truth. This is how this button looks and no one can tell me otherwise. Exactly. And a great place to just have the entire kind of like style guide reflected. I always find before designing it's just nice to kind of go back, look at the design system, especially if you're kind of between projects or if you haven't had to design screens for a while, or even just a weekend, to be honest, has like been in the way of a previous day of working on designs.
I love it. So, as you know, we can't have a podcast about a little bit of history. So, I will take you back to 1968. Imagine you are at a NATO conference on software engineering, and someone called Douglas McElroy presented component-based development as a solution to a big problem that they had back then in software engineering. And that was basically all of their code was all over the place, the same way as our design files can be sometimes today when you are collaborating with other designers. And they had very kind of unorganized code, and they didn't know what to reference when, let's say, they were looking for a specific button or they were looking for a specific color and so on. So he presented component-based development as a solution to this. And obviously it was a way to speed up programming's potential by making code reusable and making it more efficient and easier to scale. And I often feel like our developer friends are like a step ahead of us at times. I feel like a lot of the problems that we find in design or even design ops as the new kid on the block, software engineering has kind of already thought of these problems and already found some really good solutions. And often, we find them in software engineering. So that's kind of like the start. And then obviously kind of in the design world, Brad Frost created Atomic Design, and that is what we reference today a lot. So he kind of took inspiration from chemistry and organized design systems into atoms, molecules, compounds, and then obviously layouts and pages. And that meant that at the time that we were moving away from kind of building websites by page layouts, which Lauren describes as very 1990s. In terms of like what design systems are, I think a lot of people think about kind of colors, buttons, typography, all the fun stuff, really. But they are a little bit more than that. So when we think about the fun stuff, that usually is the style guide. So the colors, the illustrations, their usage. And when we also think about the pattern library, this is a specific component. So this can be different header types, different navigations, a form layout, and so on. But when I was doing a course by Dan Moll, who, like Brad Frost, is one of kind of the big thinkers when it comes to design systems, he kind of opened my eyes to the fact that a design system isn't a system yet, unless it has like guidance, it has principles, it has values. So when you think about kind of like the components, they have to be kind of accompanied by guidance. So when you look at the button, you need to know this button looks like this when it's disabled. It looks like this when it's hovered over. It looks like this when it's clicked, and so on. So that guidance basically allows us to use the components properly, and it's really important. And yeah, often systems have like principles or values. So for example, one of Shopify's values is empowerment. And in their design system, they actually show how to apply it. So they say, because our value is empowerment, we want to help users complete their tasks without taking away decisions or independence. So yeah, that's a little bit about design systems and their importance and kind of them being more than just like a file hosting all of our buttons and dropdowns and things as we often think of them.
Thank you. I think that's super informative. Definitely a very comprehensive lowdown on what design systems are exactly.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so how did you first come across design systems and what has been your experience using them?
Yeah, so I first came across design systems on one of my early projects I was on with Lavinia, actually. And that was one of these really kind of well thought out, well built out design systems that almost had someone in charge of it, kind of maintaining it. But then I've also, you know, been on those design teams of one where we've been doing a kind of rapid fire MVP rapid prototyping and kind of just tried to build a scraggly one for myself from scratch and didn't really have time to invest, I guess, the full time that was needed. So I've kind of experienced both ends of a really robust, comprehensive design system that I would consider to be quite legitimate, and then kind of a cheap and cheerful, quick and easy design system.
Yeah, very, very similar, because I think my first experience with the design system was basically the same as yours. And yeah, it was definitely very kind of well documented. And what I liked about it is that it definitely had both developers and designers kind of working on it and building on it, which was really good to see. And then I've been on projects where I was on my own and I basically created a library of components to help myself. And I called it a design system. But I guess, yeah, looking back, it probably wasn't necessarily a system. It was more like a guide. So yeah, very similar.
So on my end, when I was doing a project ages ago, I think when I was still trying to get into UX design, I was in our innovation team and we had to design a prototype for a design sprint. I think it was a very short workshop. It was literally like 2 days of discovery and ideation. And then I had to produce a prototype off the back of that and design lots of screens and link them together. And I remember thinking it was so hard to just sort of like transform, I think, sketches or like wireframes directly into something that looked really polished. And I remember thinking, or like kind of scouring the web for examples of how this should look. And I wasn't really aware of design systems at the time. And it wasn't until actually a senior stakeholder said, hey, we actually have a design library or a pattern library in place. Like, why don't you use that instead? And once I opened it, it was quite funny because I was using a Windows at the time and this was a sketch file. So I had to use something called like Lunacy 8. I don't know if anyone remembers that, to like open it. But the moment I opened it, I was like, wow, this makes a lot more sense. And it just is going to save me so much time just like pulling screens, high fidelity screens together, rather than having to sort of like Command C, Command V everything and just kind of repeat simple building blocks. So that was when my eyes were first opened to a design system. And then currently in my project as well, I'm really trying to leverage the design system of the organization where I'm working as a contractor. And it's actually a really well-documented design system, and it's just helped me create those screens so much more quickly. I guess that kind of brings us to the question, why would you use design systems in the first place? I mean, I feel like maybe I'm kind of setting up a straw man argument here because we've talked about some of the benefits of using that, but what do you think? Like, why would you use a design system?
Okay, question, cool. Yusen. Yes, this is Yusen answering. No.
I'll do that. That was a quick question to everyone else, but I will answer it because I often have these internal monologues and like soliloquies. So I'll just like answer that question I posed to myself.
I love it.
First of all, design systems are really useful for scaling design. And we hear about, you know, this term scale all the time. And it's really important because when you're building a product and you want to build it really quickly, design systems help you to do that. As teams grow, it's really common for designers to focus on discrete areas of an app like search or discovery or account management and other different features. So this can sometimes lead to a fragmented visual language, almost like a Tower of Babel of design, with each designer kind of having their own take on that feature, designing it, and then realizing actually when you look at the bigger picture that these puzzle pieces don't fit together. And this happens a lot when designers solve problems individually and not systematically. So having a design system in place to kind of anchor people or kind of have a single point of reference that they can look at and then base their designs off is really useful for just streamlining that common design language. And that, I guess, leads on to how design systems can be really used to improve collaboration within teams. So you can use this as a shared reference. For example, if I'm working with other designers in my team and we're working on a new page with a space for a video feature, I can just say, I'm going to be using the video feature component for this page from our design system. And it instantly gives people a shared point of reference. So it gives you that language to describe your components in. And then I guess the other big one, apart from just increasing collaboration between teams, and so I guess the other big one, apart from helping to improve collaboration between teams, is just that it's so much faster and it saves huge amounts of time. It's so much easier to have a pattern library, even if it's not a fully fledged design system to pull from, rather than having to design from scratch. One of the few things I heard from a design mentor when starting out is that you really shouldn't be reinventing the wheel with your designs because there are some tried and tested established design patterns. And I think this probably extends to whatever you're working on within your company as well. If there's some sort of pattern that has already been established and it's already been developed and it works, then having a design system where you can pull these components from is going to really help you save huge amounts of time and rework. It also really helps onboard new designers and it helps you work more efficiently with the development team as well, especially if you have a code library that maps into your design system. You can just say, I'm using this particular component from the design library, and the developers will more often than not have a sort of shared point of reference and they can end up just pulling the code for that particular component. So it just saves the team so much time from design to development overall. And then another really important point just to mention on design systems is that it improves usability, especially when accessibility is inbuilt into the design system. When you work with a library of accessible visual guidelines and components, accessibility, especially when it's baked upfront in the process, becomes so much easier to achieve, even for teams who might not feel like they have enough time to put that accessibility front of mind. So yeah, that's just a few of the reasons why we really, really love design systems and why we advocate for them. And it's just so satisfying to comb through that sticker book and then peel off a component sticker and slap it into your design.
It is actually satisfying.
I love that so much.
Like compared to the, you know, control C, control V, or going and grabbing a fresh sticker and just, yeah, slapping it down. Like it does spark some sort of joy in my heart.
I also feel like on the time saving thing as well, often designers have these like great side skills as well. So for example, our one and only Yusin is very good at motion design, and obviously she's learning more about motion design. But when you don't have a design system and you have to like design stuff from scratch, you prioritize basically the functionality. But I guess if you have the time to do a little bit of a lovely animation and stuff like that, then you can add a little bit of delight to your interactions as well, which if you didn't have a design system, you might not have time to do.
We stand delight on this podcast.
Yep, exactly.
Amazing. Speak of things that we stand. So we understand kind of why design systems are important, but where does one start when creating a design system? So I think the first thing is research. It's really important to kind of talk to the team, talk to some of the future users or customers, and really understand kind of how the design system will be used and some of the problems that it will solve. And it's important to understand if you're doing this for one product or multiple, just to really understand context that this design system will be underpinning. also just important to get ears and eyes out there and understand, like, are there some things that you can use in terms of the team's ways of working, such as like naming conventions? And then the second thing is an audit. So it's really important, as Yusin kind of mentioned, like, do not reinvent the wheel. So look out there and understand what is currently being used by the company, the product, or the service. So for instance, I was talking to a fellow designer who said that when he did an audit, he found 20 shades of pink for this one product. There was only supposed to be like 3, but when he actually, you know, took the eyedropper to everything, he was like horrified to find out that there had actually been so many variations. So really understand, I guess, in his case, like how big that mess was and how he could kind of streamline it by bringing it to like 3 pinks as opposed to the 20 slight variations.
I think that helps sell a design system as well. For example, you're struggling to tell your manager, look, I want to work on this to help us save some time. These numbers, like, look, we're using 20 shades of pink, can actually help bring them on board and make them understand the scale of the problem.
100%. There's kind of an element of spring cleaning or Marie Kondoing in this design system audit. Really understand the mess and what you need to do to get it in line. Get this design system, it's summer body.
Yeah, 100%. Sometimes designers are just like glorified organizers, right? Because you have to be super systematic about the way you build things out. Otherwise, it just becomes too much of an untamed beast to like tackle at one go. And I think design systems sounds like, you know, it might be tedious and might take a bit of time to set up, especially if your product has been developed for ages without any like guidelines in place. But it is actually worth it, like going through all of these different designs and pointing out the inconsistencies so that when you do continue from there, it's going to be a lot quicker and more consistent.
Yeah, you are so right. When I kind of volunteered myself to bring this like wireframe library from Sketch to Figma, I was like, oh, this is easy. I'll just import it and then I'll kind of like clean it up and figure it out from there. But oh my God, no, it wasn't.
Do you regret volunteering as tribute?
I don't know. It's actually really fun. But I thought I have a whole week to do this task. And it's not going to take me longer than that. And then we realized and we were like, okay, let's bring the team on. Let's make a document, check mark all the tasks. So yeah, just completely agreeing with you, Yusin.
Amazing. And Lavinia, that segues perfectly into the third tip, which is assess who needs to be involved. Like High School Musical, we're all in this together and it should be a bit of a team sport looking at this design system. So it's important to involve developers. Like, is this a component that can actually work? Do we have the technology? Information architects, kind of to understand how it's organized. Of course, accessibility specialists, make sure like the font is not size 10. Make sure colors are accessible. Even kind of the marketing and branding teams, if you have access to them. And to really understand all elements that might kind of go into this design system, since it will be the central source of truth. And bonus points, if you actually get to work for an organization where they do have like a product manager who is like the guardian of the design system. There have only been a few projects I've worked on that have had that, but they're, of course, they're probably the person doing that or heavily involved in that case. But again, it's so important to have a variety of inputs going forward. So we know all about why we use design systems. We know where to start, where to kick off. So now, how do we organize the design system? So a great place to start, Atomic Designs, which we've mentioned earlier in the podcast. And ultimately what it does is it takes kind of components at their smallest form in atoms, the real kibbles and bits, and it slowly groups them as they get more sophisticated and complex and ultimately go from like the very smallest little design amoeba all the way to the fully realized like organism of pages, which are just like a ton of little atoms working together to kind of come together into an ecosystem. So if we start at the atom level, that's the smallest component. So for instance, that could be a label or a drop down. Then we get into molecules. And so these two have merged and are now a drop down with a label. Then we get into organisms, which could be a set of form components like the drop downs with the text fields and looks at kind of how they relate to each other. Then we get into the template, which potentially could be like the entire form that's made up of like these drop downs. And then the page, which you know, can have the header component, can have the form made up of all the little kind of components, the drop downs, the text field, which is really like the most sophisticated entire ecosystem that contains all these little atoms working together. And then in terms of some naming conventions, we love to use the / naming. So it's a way to kind of use slashes to go from high level all the way to very detailed low level. So for instance, you could have input/field/text/active, or you could have input/field/text/default. So that helps you when you're organizing your components. You can go in and search under a menu. It will allow you to drill down and find that specific sticker that you're looking for, which you can then pop in. It saves you a ton of time as well if you've just got those ready to slap down.
Well, those are some awesome tips, really handy for how to organize a design system. And I think something that I'll definitely be also leaning on whenever, I guess it's not my primary responsibility at the moment really to create or maintain this design system, but I'm just trying to be a lot more strategic in the way I organize things. And that certainly helps a lot just in terms of, you know, the / naming and thinking about how to come up with different components for your design system in terms of atomic design. Something that I've actually heard a lot about is this term design tokens, and I've heard it floating around on just, you know, random YouTube videos. It's something that I was reading up a little bit about before this podcast because I was like, whoa, design tokens, that sounds really cool. Like, how can I make myself seem more knowledgeable? So there's this new term, design tokens, which I've actually heard a lot about. And when I heard it, I was like, whoa, this sounds interesting. How can I maybe like find out a bit more? And to be honest, I'm still not entirely clear like what design tokens are. But you know, from Adobe XD, whom funnily we actually kind of slightly dissed because we love Figma so much here on the pod on a previous episode, Adobe XD have actually provided a pretty helpful definition of what design system tokens are. So they are the style values of UI elements such as color, typography, spacing, shadows, for example, that are used across different products, and they can be converted to a format for any development platform, so web, mobile, desktop. And I think fundamentally, with design tokens, we probably are doing some of this already, I think day to day when trying to build out a design system in Figma or a pattern library. For example, if I was going to make something a certain shade of gray, like C8, C8, C8 or something, I could just store that value or like name it as button gray. And essentially, I think that is the principle behind design tokens. You rename, you know, specific values as, you kind of give specific values a name, almost like a class name. And then that essentially gets converted into code that can be used across multiple different platforms. So whether that's iOS or Android, that's kind of my understanding of what design tokens are. But, you know, since they are very much related to code, as a designer, it's good to be aware of them and why they're important. But unless, you know, you're also a UX unicorn, in the front end development, it might not be your responsibility to create or even document them. But I think it's just quite useful to have that principle in mind that, you know, every time you kind of specify a hex value for a certain color, you can actually just name that as something and then just use that name going forward so that it really helps to affect global changes in your designs. When you're building out new screens, you can just simply select that color relating to a specific name, and it's just probably a lot easier and just you know, more human friendly because you don't have to memorize that hex code all the time. You just kind of find what name it corresponds to within your design system.
Love it.
So that was just a little bit about design tokens. I'm not sure if I've just muddled a lot of people. Hopefully not. But it's something, if you're interested in, definitely worth reading up on. And just in terms of other things related to design systems, what design systems do you love or get inspiration from? Not a question to myself this time, by the way.
Oh, it's a great question. I love to fangirl about Polaris from Shopify. This is actually a bit of a funny story. I was actually interviewing before I got this new role. I was interviewing for a role to be kind of like the designer on the design systems team, which I would have been really, really excited about. But I think they weren't looking at the right levels, to be honest, because what they proposed to me was a pay cut and what's the opposite of a promotion? A demotion?
Demotion.
Which I didn't really understand because I was supposed to be the person, the first designer on the design system team, and they basically wanted someone who was almost entry level. So it created a lot of confusion when I was kind of applying for it and interviewing for it. But they did mention, they asked me this exact question in the interview. They were like, what is the design system that you love and stuff? And there was a developer on the team that had already worked on a design system with another company. And he was like, oh, you don't have to mention this design system. And I didn't particularly think it was the best. So I was like, yeah, my favorite one is Polaris. And then I kind of got out of the interview and I hope I didn't like offend him.
Enemy of the pod.
Yeah, enemy of the pod. But yeah, it's Polaris. I look at it every time, like I come across, like I have to create a design system for a little project I'm working on, or I read about it. I come back to it over and over. Like years ago, I feel like they've been so kind of far ahead of all the companies creating design systems now. They have incredible guidance. When you kind of look at a specific component, they refer related components. They have all the code there. It's beautifully organized. Yeah, massive fan of Polaris. Like if I ever get to work on a design system team, the dream for me, Polaris from Shopify.
Nice.
So yeah, I came across Trevor, which is UI kit and design system, which is a really great kind of design system and UI kit to get things kicked off, especially kind of in those like rapid prototyping assignments or projects. I really like how a lot of UI kits and design systems are available to buy. So if you kind of have some project budget, but you don't have like the time to create your own, you can always do that. I also have to give a shout out to friend of the pod, Adam, because I just came onto a new project and he was the one that spent a ton of time creating a really, really solid design system. So I'd just like to say that design systems are great to have and to hold, but they're also very much appreciated if you have to hand over your project. They're definitely essential for success.
Can I just echo that? I 100% agree with that because I inherited like a huge bunch of assets from the previous designer who did a really great job. And probably through no fault of his own, really, I don't have a design system or I couldn't access the files that I actually inherited in the design tool that he was using due to some internal restrictions. And I didn't even have, or I wasn't aware of a design system to start with. And so when I first joined this current project I'm on, I was just completely lost because I was like, this is all really great work, but I don't know if I'm actually meant to recreate every single thing because really there should be a design system to start from. So yeah, I 100% agree with what you said, Lauren, in terms of design systems for handing over things.
Yeah, you can feel like you're searching for the lost city of Atlantis if you don't have a design system. So like a really crisp, well-structured, organized design system for handover is the greatest gift of all. It's all I want for Christmas.
Amen.
Speaking about things that make us want to say amen, we've got a great hotline design hotline question this week.
Hey, hotline design hotline. I'm Chloe, a longtime listener and a first-time caller. As a product designer, I always start off the best intentions to keep my design system clean, crisp, and updated. But as the project goes on, they tend to get a bit messy and inaccurate. Do you have any tips on how to keep my design systems clean and accurate as possible? Thanks.
Amazing question, Chloe, and thank you so, so much for calling in. So one thing I like to kind of keep close to my heart and close to my diary is a 15 to 30 minute meeting, which I put in kind of like every Friday or every other Friday. And it's just a kind of cleanup. It's very like kindergarten cleanup song. But I think actually dedicating that time to just go through your sketch or your Figma file, and especially your design system, and just ensure that it is up to date is really important to kind of carve out that time. Additionally, you can also create like a really fun playlist to go along with your kind of cleanup 15 minutes or half an hour, and really kind of make it something you look forward to at the end of every week, kind of before you like close down and head off into your weekend. So I'd say, yeah, putting it into your diary is definitely something that's been very successful over on my side.
Love it. I don't know why, but this question reminds me of a tweet that I have a feeling I referenced before, but I'm gonna do it again. I think it was something like, all designers do is detach components and lie. So
you'll see.
Like,
why are you attacking me right now?
Exactly. And yeah, exactly. I feel seen as well. I'm a very big design systems kind of fan. But equally, I have done that countless times and found myself being like, oh, damn, now this app, we need to like, yeah, make sure that I use the right components and stuff. And when that happens, I think what you said, Lauren, is great. I actually don't have any tips. I just realized while we all can relate to this, I have a tip that is very difficult to kind of implement. And that is just kind of like being mindful when you are working on a page. And being very familiar with what is already in the design system so you don't kind of like recreate things and have to clean them up at the end. Yeah, it's just being mindful of what's already there and using it. And when you are kind of detaching instances and lying, which we all are doing, just make sure that you have a good reason for it as well. Like if you are not using something from a design system, it's probably because it's not solving the problem that you're trying to solve. So if someone attacks you for it, which is likely, I feel I've seen that before, just make sure you have kind of like a good reasoning for it as well.
Yeah, I think those are really great tips, and I just second that. I think first of all, being very mindful, like what you said, Lavinia, of what already exists, and then like having a really good reason for suggesting something new if it's not within the design system, and then maybe putting it to the team is the way to go. And also, you know, just kind of combining that with blocking out time every week just for looking back through the design system and probably not getting too hung up on it in the moment, but just trying to make that time for auditing, I think, some of what you've already done at the end of the week and having some fun music to go along with it. Those are really great tips. Personally, what I try and do is, if something is really messy and inaccurate, what I really like doing is blocking out specific parts of my XD or Figma file just for a screen graveyard, and, you know, maybe kind of putting similar versions of components together. So if you are developing like multiple headers, I would just try and group them in one spot on the Figma file or whatever tool you're using, really. And then that way you can kind of see the evolution of how a specific component has changed. And also just making sure that whenever you are using an outdated component, I would just kind of drag it into that graveyard and kind of forget about it for the time being. And when doing your audit session, you can just mass delete all of those screens at once.
Oh, I love that so much. I didn't even think of that before. I will probably put like a school emoticon and create a graveyard in my files yes. from now on.
Just a giant RIP.
Yeah. I love that.
Amazing. Well, Chloe, thank you once again for calling into Hotline Design Hotline. And as always, if you would like to be featured on Hotline Design Hotline, you can leave a message at anchor.fm/hotlinedesignpod. And speaking of screen graveyards and things we need to let rest in peace, we have come to the end of the episode. And you can find us on Instagram at hotlinedesignpod. And at Gmail at hotlinedesignpod@gmail.com. Thank you so much, ladies, and we will catch you next time.